Hello, this is Pastor Alan Cain. We're glad you've chosen today to listen to this message recorded at the Lawrenceville Church of God. We are currently studying Profiles in Courage. Today's message is, Abraham didn't ask for directions either. We hope you enjoy.
Today's message is, we're continuing our Profiles in Courage, and we're talking about Abraham today. We've been looking at Hebrews as we talk about the end of the age and making sure that we're ready and our roots are sunk deep. We look at Hebrews chapter 11 as a list of those whose roots were sunk deep with God. And Abraham is what we consider the father of the faithful. That is often what he's called. He's the father of the Israeli nation. The Israelites were not a people. The Jews were not a people until after the flood. A few generations down, Abraham's born. God calls Abraham out. And he is the one that God calls, you will be the father of the nation of Israel. Of course, in between that time, after the flood, is the Tower of Babel, where God disperses the languages and the nationalities out across the world. And out of that, he calls Abraham and to be his people. And so he is called the father of the faithful because he didn't ask for directions. He accepted his call and he went. And we're going to look at him today as we look at this particular profile in courage. And as we look at his life, and what was it that gave him the courage to do what he needed to do, even though it was a difficult thing? And again, our definition of courage is making a decision based on truth, whether we have fear or not. That's where courage comes from. Making your decision based on truth, whether you're afraid to do it or not. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 8. I'm going to look at it from about this far away. My new glasses are really... Getting old is no fun. Absolutely not. This week, working on the house, getting ready for the party we were having, and there's a bike laying on the ground behind me that had fallen over, and I forgot, and I stepped back, and I started to stumble trying to catch myself, and it lasted just long enough for me to be able to process it in my mind that I'm not going to be able to recover from this. There's no way to get my footing, and I'm going to fall, and it's going to hurt. And I was right on all counts. I fell, and it did hurt. And so I just sat there thinking, you know, when I was 16, 18, I could have fallen right on the bike, had the pedal impale me, and I'd been fine. Now I kind of just hit and roll, and I'm thinking, I'll feel that for a good 2 weeks, you know, one of those things. And I can't see and all that other stuff. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, I want you, if you got a pen or pencil, to underline or circle that word called. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, circle and underline that word, by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. God called. He answered by obedience. That's why Abraham was called the father of the faithful. Not that he was perfect in his obedience, because he wasn't. In fact, we see, as we're going to look back in Genesis, when God calls him originally in Genesis, that it's not long after his call and after he gets to what we now know as Israel, that he ends up going down to Egypt because of famine, and he does some deceitful things there, and he lies. And God has to deal with him on that. He has to work that out of him before he really makes him into the man that God needs him to be. And so it takes some time. Now, he's 75 when he starts this. You notice when we talked about Moses, he was 80. Abraham's 75, so some of you are just getting ready to get started with God. You know, you're at that age where you can start parting the Red Sea and, you know, and packing up and going somewhere and not know where you're heading. And as long as God calls you to do it, trust me, you want to be there. You know, and so this is where Abraham is at this point. And he calls him, and he's not a perfect man, but he's building his faith, and that's what God starts to do in Abraham. He starts to build his faith. He's really going to be the father of the faithful. He's going to have to really get to a place where he can see the things that aren't seen. Where he can just pack up and go, that took a lot of faith. Can you imagine if this afternoon you were convinced that the Lord spoke to your heart that, you know what, you're not going to be in Clark County anymore. I want you to get your wife or get your husband, get your kids. And I want you to pack up all your belongings, get them in a U-Haul, and start up and just start driving. And I want you to drive till I tell you to stop. And I got something for you to do there. Just ponder that for a minute. First of all, convincing your mate to do that. Or not to send you to the mental ward, right, for an evaluation. To pack up and go where you not know where you're going. Now, for some of us who are free spirits, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? You know, a trip without an itinerary. Drive till you get to an intersection and then flip a coin and turn based on that. You know, that sounds like fun. To some of you, you'd rather rub sandpaper on your lips and pour turpentine over them, you know, than do that. For those of you who are organized and, you know, just can't stand that kind of stuff. But for Abraham, he said, God just calls him. He says, I'm going to send you to a land and I'm going to make of you a great nation. But, just get up and go and I'll tell you when you get there. That's a major, major undertaking. How many of you have ever moved outside of the county that you were born in? Maybe 10, 15%. Yeah. You came from Germany. You came the longest today. And, most of us are born and raised and die within very close geographical and not used to it. I know military kids are used to that kind of stuff. Pastors' kids in my dad's generation, we were used to that. You know, 5, 6, 7 years, you just kept moving all the time. And so I lived all over the place, and I've done a little of that. And in my ministry, I tried not to do that. And so I've left where I was used to and what was called home. But to get in and go where you not know where you're going, not know what you're going to be able to provide for yourself there and your family, it was a huge deal. That's what we're talking about, courage. It took a lot of courage to pack up not knowing where you're going. A lot of us pack up and go somewhere thinking we know where we're going, and we don't have a clue. But that's a whole other sermon. But he just got up and went. And that's why he's in Hebrews 11. As he's talking about this great courage. And again, remember what faith is, verse 1 of chapter 11? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. Convinced and convicted of what isn't seen. He believed God well enough to talk his wife and his kids and his family. In that time, it was a lot of servants, a lot of people like that, a large group of people to pack up everything. In fact, their dad went with them at first. He didn't go all the way, but he started out with them to go because he believed God that whatever God had there had to be better than being here without God. Not that God couldn't be there, but that God had called him, and he knew that. That's why that word called is important. God called him, and he obeyed and went. And we sang that song, I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence. And Abraham knew in this specific situation that God wanted him somewhere else. And if God wanted him somewhere else, then he had to be there, or he'd never be the fullness of what he could be in without God back home. And he lived in what we now know as Iraq. He lived in the Fertile Crescent area, where the Tigris and Euphrates River is, and the Ur of the Chaldees in that area. It was a pretty nice place. It had water, and you could grow crops and all that. And he wasn't sure what the land of Canaan would be like or where God was sending him. And yet he still went. That is an incredible amount of faith. But again, it was the conviction of things not yet seen. That he believed wherever God was going had to be better than staying here where God didn't want him. That's what real courage is. And I remember a specific case in my past, and as a parent was very, very worried about their adult child who wanted to go out in the mission field. And they had shared with their parents their calling and how God had called them to do this. And the parent was very worried that what if they go over there? I'm afraid if they go over there, they get sick or worse, killed. And I don't want to lose my child. And I remember having this conversation with a parent. And I just said to them, you know, even if they get killed over there, if they are called to be there, that's where they have to be. If you want the adventure of a lifetime, if you want the fullness of life that we all dream we could have, a life of significance, if God calls you to something, you better be there. There, we would never have heard the name Abraham if Abraham would have stayed home. It's when Abraham was convinced that whatever God would do somewhere else, even though he didn't know what it was, he was convinced that it had to be better than staying here without God involved in this situation because God wanted him there. Now, you can, it doesn't mean everybody has to move. In fact, don't. Got a building project, all that kind of stuff. But I would say, if you are called today to move and go and do something, I do not want you here. You need to be where God is calling you to be. And Abraham knew that he was somewhere else. And he was convinced of that. And he made the hard choice. Was he afraid? I bet they were afraid. I bet his wife was really afraid. I bet his kids weren't sure what was going on. But it says he was called and he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now notice that God does put the blessing in there of the inheritance. That there was a reason for him going, not just because God was calling him, but God was promising him a better blessing, an inheritance. God always gives us incentive. And because the natural incentive of following God is that you receive blessings, but here he says you get an inheritance. We're going to talk about that as well. Verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for a city which had its foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there is born even one man, and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven, in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these, the names he's just listed, died in faith without receiving the promises, but have seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed them, they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they had went out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So it wasn't just, that God gave a blessing to him. He says, if you go, I'm going to give you an inheritance, and you and your children. And that inheritance was going to be beyond just the momentary thing. It would be an inheritance forever for his descendants. And we're going to look at that. In fact, if you'll turn with me back to Genesis, if you would, the first book in your Bible, Genesis chapter 12. God starts that promise. Remember, we look in the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, it says that Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. In other words, Jesus also knew that this kingdom of God was coming on this earth. And that's our understanding in the Church of God. In fact, our denomination used to be called, in a lot of places, Church of God of the Abrahamic faith. What does that mean? The faith of Abraham, and the faith that God would fulfill the promise, that the promise would be that God would set up his kingdom. And we believe it's going to be here on the earth, different from some, but whatever it is, it's eternal life. But we believe here, and because he promised Abraham and his descendants forever this land. And that's what we find in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Abram, his name isn't Abraham yet, Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is where we get the phrase and the concept as Christians that we are to support the nation of Israel. Abraham is the father of Israel, and God says that this nation I'm going to make from you, those who bless this nation, I will bless, and those who curse this nation, I will curse. That's why it's important for us as a country never to turn our back on the nation of Israel, because God says he will curse those who curse them and bless those who bless them. Verse 4, so Abraham went forth, and the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all the possessions which he had accumulated, and the persons which acquired in Haran, and he set out the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land. Look at verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, To your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So I'm going to give you this land. And it wasn't just going to be for them and for their family, just for the next 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. We're going to see that promise grows into something greater. Look to chapter 13, verse 14 of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes. Look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. Now we get the time frame in here. He says, you and your descendants will have this land forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and its breadth, for I will give it to you. He said, I'm going to give you this land and your descendants this land forever. This is called the land grant that God gave to Abraham. You and your descendants will have this forever. Forever means what it means. Forever. That the people of God would own this land forever. Well, we know that forever, first of all, hasn't come. And they haven't been in it all the time. There's been a portion of the people there, but they've been kicked out a number of times and have come back as recently as 1948. And been established as a nation again. But he keeps telling them that there's this promise that he's going to make this great nation and this kingdom here, I think, on the earth. And he says it's part of this original land grant. And this is what he promises Abraham. Now, it's important for us to keep that in mind, that this is the promise he made to him. He said, I promise this to you and your descendants forever. As far as you can see the north, as far as you can see the south, east and west, walk about it, you'll have it forever. Go to chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came. It's really fun when it's somebody else's baby. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your rewarder shall be great. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house? Is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. And then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens. Count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteous. Abraham started this journey at 75. And it's not long after that God told him Sarah's going to have a child. And we're too old to have kids. And he says, you're going to have them. And he hadn't had them for a while. He says, so, Lord, I don't have any descendants, so we'll pick Eleazar. He's a trusted friend. We'll let his children be descendants. God said, no, I'm going to give you descendants. And he took him outside. And he says, get up, look at the stars. Can you count them? No, Lord, of course I can't. I can't count them. He says, I'm going to give you more children than stars you can count. I'm an old man. Trust me, I'm going to make you of a great nation. It is this kind of faith that gives Abraham in Hebrews 11. And it says he believed him at that moment. And they're Southerners because it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was from South Iraq. I reckon you're righteous. It was reckoned to him as righteous. It was given to him as righteousness because he believed. If you're 75, 80, and your wife is somewhere around there, would it be really, really hard for you to conceive of having a child? Yeah. But Abraham believed, even in his own age, that God was giving him more descendants than you can shake a stick at. That's another phrasing here. Abraham said, all right, I believe you. And it was this faith matched with obedience to the call of God that was going to bring him these blessings. Not only would he and his descendants, meaning us here in a minute, we'll see that, would inherit this earth forever, but also he would have descendants that he had never had. His wife was barren up to the past the age when she should have children. And yet God said, I'm going to give them to you. And because when he was called, he obeyed, God blessed him. And people who are going to have deep roots have to be people who are blessed by God. And the Spirit of God's got to rest in them in a powerful way. And the way we do that is we hear the call of God, we obey that call of God, we do what is right, and blessings come. And because Abraham could see what is unseeable and believe what is unbelievable, God counted that as righteousness to him, because there was not Jesus yet. There was no faith in Christ, no forgiveness through that. But because of his faith, he was considered righteous at this moment. Look at verse 18 of that same chapter, Genesis 15, 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river Euphrates. You know, when you look at a map of Israel today, it's about, depending on what map you got, about that wide. There's places in Israel you can walk across in a day. 20 miles in some places, a little more. The original land grant was clear down to Egypt, up through what we now know as Israel, and way over into Iraq. The original land grant was clear back to the river Euphrates. It is interesting, that's where he was from. God would call him out of there, and in faith he left his home, and by leaving his home in faith, God gave him his home back and everything surrounding it. You want to be in blessing with God? You take your call and you obey it. And he gives him this huge land grant. And that was the promise, that he would give it to him and to his descendants forever. Now let's go to the New Testament. Romans chapter 4. All these things working together. His believing what is unbelievable, seeing what is unseen, and the hope of receiving a reward for doing it. Those are the pieces of the puzzles of our life. To hear the call of God, to obey that call of God, to see what is unseen, to believe what is unbelievable, also knowing that we do it for a reward. I don't think we have to feel guilty that we're doing it for a reward, because God is the one who gave us that reward. He's offering that reward to us. And we see in Romans chapter 4 that, you remember, the first time God spoke the promise to Abraham, he told him, here's the promise I'm going to give to you. I'm going to, first of all, give you a lot of descendants, and I'm going to give you as much land as your eye can see. Look, north, south, east, west, whatever you can see, I'm going to give you. Well, he couldn't see from Israel to the river Euphrates. I guarantee you he can't. And so later on, God expands that. He says, not only is it the land you could see from where the mountain you were standing on, but I'm going to give you from Egypt clear up and clear over to Iraq, back over to the river Euphrates. I'm going to give you this land grant. And then God takes it one step further for us in the New Testament and explains what he really meant by this. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham, again, land, the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be the heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now we find out what God's real plan was. It wasn't just Israel, and it wasn't just as much as his eye could see, nor was it even just the original land grant over there. But we find out that in the New Testament concept through Christ, that Abraham, the promise made to Abraham was that he would be an heir or inherit the whole world. What did Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, you might be excited because you got a half acre, an acre, or maybe you've got 20, 30, 50, 100, a couple hundred, even if you've got 1,000. If you're in Christ, we own it all. Not just my half acre, which is plenty to mow, but we inherit the earth. This is all ours. The glory of it all is ours. And it's part of that original promise made to Abraham. And it says in Romans 4:13 that the promise made to Abraham that his descendants would be heirs of the world was not through the law, but through faith. It was reckoned to him because they believed God. And he says, for verse 14, for those who are of the law are, for if those who are of the law are heirs, heirs made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be a guarantee to all his descendants. So the promise, there's that word promise again. That's, remember back Genesis 12, the promise that he and his descendants would have this forever. The promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, meaning the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's where we got that phrase for our church, the faith of Abraham, Church of God, faith of Abraham. And so it's not just the Jews, but those who would have that kind of faith, who is the father of us all, for as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. Now, this is a quote from Genesis. And if you don't read it carefully, you pass right by that. He says, I have made you the father of many nations. Well, when God said that, Abraham hadn't had his first child. But he said it in past tense. I have made you. Because in God's mind, it was as good as done. Kids were coming, and lots of them. I have made you. And that's what Paul goes on to say here. Look at that in verse 17. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In other words, he calls those things that are not as though they are. That's another version of that. He told Abraham, I have made you, past tense, the father of many nations, and you haven't had your first kid yet. The seeing the unseen, believing the unbelievable, obeying the call, all these things come together with the hope of an eternal promise, makes this incredible man of courage despite his fear. He made decisions based on truth. And we can be those same people. Turn me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. 1 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Galatians chapter 3. Get to be part of that. And a lot of people say, well, only the Jews get to be a part of that original promise of inheritance. But if you remember, Abraham was promised that before he was circumcised. Paul talks about that. We don't have time to look at all those verses. But he was made righteous in faith before circumcision, before he became officially a child of God. So he is the father of the uncircumcised and the circumcised. Paul makes that point. It's a wonderful thing. For the Jew and the Gentile, basically, is what he's talking about here. And let's look at verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. What was the promise? I will give you and your descendants this land forever. So in Christ, if we are baptized into Christ, we become part of Abraham's offspring. And that's what he says. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. The promise that God made Abraham and that he and his descendants would inherit the world forever. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Romans 4:13, God promised Abraham that he would inherit this world. It's our hope. And the good news is it's not the world as we know it. It is not a cursed earth. It is not an earth where death and sorrow and grief and pain that we've talked about in our prayer time this morning. It is a kingdom that will be set up like it was in the days of Garden of Eden. That there'll be paradise again on the earth. There won't be any sickness, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more death. He says, for those former things are going to be gone. And the beautiful words of Revelation 21 says, and God himself shall wipe away every tear from your eye. And I picture God taking in his hands, which I always picture very large, rugged hands, holding my face and with a thumb, wiping the tears from my eyes, I see my God face to face in the kingdom that is coming. That's the earth we're looking for, the paradise that Abraham did not receive what was promised. Remember Hebrews 11, when he read it, it says, all these died not receiving what was promised. And if you reread the last two verses of Hebrews 11, it says, all these again died not receiving what was promised because God saw something better for them, that apart from us, they will not be made perfect. In other words, I believe this denomination has taught, the sleep of the dead. They were in the grave waiting the resurrection. One reason that God does that is because he wants all of us to enjoy it all at one time. And everybody called together out of the grave, resurrected, brought together into the kingdom of his glory and his grace. Some see it different. Whatever it ends up being, it's eternal life. We believe it's one moment at the resurrection, all of us enjoying it together in God's glorious kingdom. The last two verses of Hebrews talks about that a little bit. That apart from us, they will not be made perfect because they all died not receiving that promise. And what was the promise? That they would inherit the world forever. And I don't want to inherit this world like it is. I'm waiting for a new world. I'm waiting for the real new world order. Not one by the UN or anybody else. One by Jesus Christ, where sickness and sorrow and death are no more. I long for that time. I got a number of graves I want open. I want to see my mom again. I want to sing with her again. I want to show her my kids, her grandkids, she never got to see. That day's coming because of Jesus Christ, and through Christ we're Abraham's offspring and we're heirs according to that promise that he would get it forever. And let me just tell you, forever is a long, long time. If you want to be part of the forever, you've got to walk as Abraham walked. If you hear the call of God, you need to obey that call of God, whatever that is, and do it. That's where righteousness comes. That's where blessings come. That's when we sink our roots deep. Because it's in the seeing what is unseeable, believing what is unbelievable, and then doing that call is where God meets us. And not asking for all the directions in the meantime. Well, how am I going to get there? How am I going to get there? If God calls you, you need to go. As we close this morning, I want to ask that question. I think there's some of you this morning that are feeling a call of God in your life in one direction or another. Maybe it's job-related, family-related. Maybe it's some of you thinking about, what do I do with college? What do I do the rest of my life? Maybe some of you in midlife and careers, and you're thinking, you know what, maybe the Lord's calling me into the ministry. Whatever God is speaking to your heart, begin to ask him, Lord, is this really you? Is this what you want from me? And then I beg you, with the good news of Christ, that obey that call. Do that, because that is where significance will come, and that's where the adventure will take off. If you walk with God in whatever he has planned, that Abraham would rather go where he did not know where he's going because God was going to meet him there than to stay where he was at. That's faith. That's courage. And that's the kind of people we need to be. Father, I just pray that whatever that calling is to Christ for the first time, or calling to a new aspect of our life, calling us out of something into something else, whatever it is, Lord, that we will heed that calling and obey that. Especially those who don't know Christ today, Lord, that they may be brought into the fold. Father, help us to have the faith of Abraham, to believe the unbelievable, to see what is unseen, and to obey and to trust you in those things. Lord, we look forward to that eternal home that we have with you, that new city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for a husband. Send it soon. Raise the dead. Give us immortality. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abraham Didn't Ask for Directions Either, a ministry of the Lawrenceville Church of God, Springfield, Ohio.